is taken from the piece that was read earlier on in the service about the parable that Jesus Christ spoke about a great supper being prepared. He was actually having a meal in somebody's house when he taught this parable. And it's interesting to note how often the Saviour used meal times as an opportunity to preach the gospel. And I know some of you here this morning have come, well, I'm including myself there as well, to the student lunch. And if the Lord Jesus was able to talk during supper about a much greater supper, then surely it is right for us as well to talk this morning about a meal that is the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I've just got a number of things to tell you about this feast that is the message of Christianity. And the first thing is this. This is a meal where everything has been prepared. One of them that sat at the table, when he heard Jesus Christ talking, he said, "Blessed is he that shall eat bread in the kingdom of God." And then the Saviour goes on to talk about this man who'd made this great supper, and he invited a number of people, and this was the invitation: "Come, for all things are now ready." Now, what's that about, you ask, when we're thinking about Christianity? Christianity is a feast prepared. What's on the menu? Christ is the starter. What about the main course? Christ. And what's the highlights of a meal? The desserts. What's that? Christ. When I was in India, I was most taken by a certain pickle that was made in the states of Andhra Pradesh. And it was called Gongara pickle. And I couldn't help but take this pickle with my lunch, my supper, and even my breakfast. Whatever meal I had over there, I had to put Gongara pickle on it. Now, I hope it's not being too frivolous to put it like this to you, that whatever you are feeding on in terms of the Bible, Christ is the Gongara pickle that's to be found in everything. And there's nothing for us to prepare. It's all been done. Let me use another illustration from India. Forgive me for doing this, but it might help some of you. I don't know if this will ever be popular over here, but when the ladies were preparing the curries in the kitchen area, nobody was allowed to go in, especially if you were a male. And even when you were being served, you were not allowed to take the plate back into the kitchen. It was a no-go area, and offering to wash up the dishes was a definite no-no. Now, can you see the application here? God has prepared everything when it comes to your salvation. This is what makes Christianity different to every other religion in the world. We haven't gathered you together here this morning in order to ask you to do something, in order to make yourself good enough to be accepted of God. The good news of the gospel is just this. It's all prepared. God the Father sent his only begotten Son 2,000 years ago into this world. God the Son became a man and lived the perfect life that you or I could never have accomplished, and died in our place in order that we might be forgiven. And God the Spirit comes in time and regenerates you and gives you faith to trust in him. It's all prepared. Isn't that great? Let me read some words of the Lord Jesus, one of his most spiritual sermons ever. He just stood before the people and made this astounding statement: I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. It's Christ that you need this morning. He is your righteousness. Stop thinking about preparing yourself, trying to make yourself good enough. He alone is good enough. Christ and his sacrifice is the only sacrifice worth considering. His blood can make the foulest clean. That's the crux of our message. As one, I think, a West Indian lady put it so movingly: he die, me, no more die. Christ is your strength. The more wretched you feel, the more ready you are to go to him. Do you see yourself then as a poor, starving, helpless, guilty sinner? Well, I want to tell you, the gospel is for you. Everything is prepared. There's no more to be done. Why are you delaying then? What can stop you from coming to Jesus Christ? The next thing, this supper is not only all prepared, but it's free. There are no conditions here. We don't read of any, do we? The invitation went out, and these people were being invited to come without conditions. Not that I've been invited to that many formal meals, but this wasn't a black tie affair. There wasn't even a formal dress required. Listen to the invitation. I just love to read these verses that describe the freeness of the gospel. Ho, every one that thirsteth, come to the waters, and he that hath no money, come, buy and eat. Come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. There is nothing much in life for free, but the most important thing of all, the salvation of our immortal souls, it cost God everything, but it's being offered freely to you this morning. Can I apply this even further and put it like this? You don't even have to bring something. You know, sometimes when you go to a meal, even though it's free, you feel obligated, don't you, to bring the desserts or to bring a bottle of Schlur just so that you feel less guilty. Well, my friend, you don't even have to bring such things to Christ. Nothing in my hand I bring. Simply to thy cross I cling. So can I ask you again, if it's freely offered, and if you're to come just as you are. Listen to the description of the people here. They're a motley bunch, aren't they? The original people that were invited to the feast were the Jews, and many of them, when Christ came to this world, refused him. And so the servant of the master was to go out into all the world. And listen to the condition here in terms of the type of people that were invited. Verse 21, go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city and bring in hither the poor and the maimed and the halt and the blind. Who here would want to have invited such people to their homes? As the Lord Jesus put, I'm sure, with a bit of humour in verses 12 and 13 and 14. When you make a dinner, you usually call your friends, don't you? And those who are influential, so that they can repay you. But here, it's those who've got nothing to offer who are invited. And don't you feel just like that spiritually this morning? Well, the love of God is such that it extends itself to you. Why are you delaying then? If everything's ready, no more to be done, if it's being offered for free, if there are no conditions, what's stopping you from coming to Jesus Christ? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Faith is not a work. To him that worketh not, but believes, it's resting in what Christ has done. Why are you trying to produce something when Christ has done it all? And all you can do is rest on him. Another thing. Everybody is invited. Initially to the Jews, and then the motley bunch described in verse 21. And they come, and then the servant says, Lord, it is done as thou hast commanded, and yet there is room. And the Lord said unto the servants, go out into the highways and hedges, and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. I remember seeing on somebody's mantelpiece in this church once, an invitation card. I've probably said this before, haven't I? But some of you haven't heard it. And on the card, it was Buckingham Palace tea party. An invitation. Imagine that. Being able to go to Buckingham Palace and have tea with the Queen. I couldn't just turn up there without the formal invitation with my name on it. I would have no right to be in such a glorious place. Well, just in case you are still thinking that this is not for you, this invitation card to the gospel feast doesn't just have your name on it. It's better than that. It has whosoever. Don't you like that? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever. You can't get any better than that. This is what Jesus Christ said on another occasion. It wasn't a one-off, you see, that whosoever in John 3:16. A little later, he put it like this. If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. If anybody thirsts, whosoever. How does the Bible end? Here are some of the last few verses in the Bible. The Spirit and the bride say, come, and let him that heareth say, come, and let him that is athirst come, and whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. My friend, there are mercies upon mercies here. It's as if God is going out of his way to impress upon us the freeness of the gospel. Whosoever will, you can't get any lower than that. Do you want to be saved? Do you want to believe in Christ? You may say to me, I'm not sure if I am in Christ. I've tried believing and still I have doubts. Well, do you want to have this salvation? If you do, then you're already on the path of faith. What is it to respond to this invitation? It's quite simply to say this, Lord, I know that I'm poor and wretched and guilty before you. And I know that one day I'll have to stand before you and I'm not ready. But I hear the good news that you, in sheer grace, sent Jesus Christ, your only begotten Son, into this world. And he did all that was necessary for the salvation of souls. And that you invite me to come, just as I am, and I want to be saved. I don't feel maybe as unworthy as I should, but I'm coming, Lord, and I'm putting my trust in Christ. I'm not going to lean on anything else. I'm simply crying to you in Christ's name to save me. That's how you respond. And he does save. Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. One man said this, there is nothing wanting on God's part for the salvation of man. If you are not saved, the fault is not on God's side. The Father is ready to receive all who come to him by Christ. The Son is ready to cleanse all from their sins who apply to him by faith. The Spirit is ready to come to all who ask for him. What's stopping you? You know, the thrust of this parable that Christ taught in Luke 14 is the excuses that these people made. Oh, listen to them. The first said to him, verse 18, I have bought a piece of ground, and I must needs go and see it. I pray thee, have me excused. He had things to do in this life. Important things, yes. But compared to the salvation of his soul and the invitation to come to Christ, that important thing concerning the land fades into insignificance. He could have done that another time. Are there anybody here this morning who are more worried about the things of this world? Houses, jobs, college, school, that you're putting Christ off? Listen, my friend, one day all the problems you have to face in this life will be no more. But you'll still have the problem of God, the problem of a guilty conscience, the problem of judgments. And now Christ is offering to save you from that. Don't delay. Or listen to the other one who talked about buying 5 yoke of oxen. Well, we don't buy oxen these days, do we? But we buy clothes, we buy cars. We shop in our leisure. I don't know why we do it. It's the most miserable of activities. Well, I'm not saying a word against shopping. But why will you spend money on that which satisfies not your soul? When Christ, the bread of life, is being offered for free. How pathetic the excuses about being too busy buying things. You can buy things any day, especially in this day and age when you have 24-hour Tesco's. But you don't know what tomorrow may bring. And maybe you'll be too hardened to respond to the invitation of the gospel tomorrow. Now is the time to respond to Jesus Christ. Well, I've got nothing to say about the excuse concerning marriage. Oh, it's God's gift, marriage. But it won't be the answer to all your problems. It might even be the beginning. But it's never going to satisfy the yearnings of your soul. You've got to be married to Christ. Well, I must come to a conclusion. You know, this master here, he wasn't just sitting casually in his house, not concerned about these people that had spurned the invitation. When the servant came back and said, "Lord, there is more room to be had," this is how the master put it: "Go and compel them," verse 23, "to come in." Oh, I wish I could be like that. You know, this is why I'm preaching to you this morning. This isn't just a leisurely talk about the message of Christianity. This isn't a take it or leave it kind of place. It's more important than that. Maybe when you're sitting in lectures, you can agree to disagree. You can ponder all the arguments in a cool and in a detached manner. But this is more important. This has to do with your immortal soul. I just want to read what one man wrote. He really knew what it was to compel people to come to Christ. "Come, sinners, to the gospel feast. Let every soul, from the youngest to the oldest, be Jesus' guest. Ye need not one be left behind, for God hath bidden all mankind." Wesley went on to say, "Sent by my Lord, on you I call, and I've been commissioned by the same Lord as well. The invitation is to all. Come, all the world. Come, sinner thou. All things in Christ are ready now. Come, all ye souls by sin oppressed, ye restless wanderers after rest. You know that you know that you don't have any peace. Ye poor and maimed and halt and blind, in Christ a hearty welcome find. You may sometimes be put off by the church, but oh, the Saviour is more than ready to receive you. His love is mighty to compel. Maybe I cannot make you come in, but his love is mighty to compel. It's like a magnet. His conquering love, consent to feel, yield to his love's resistless power, and fight against your God no more. Surrender. This is the time. No more delay. This is the Lord's accepted day. Come in this moment at his call and live for him who died for all. Why will you die, O house of Israel? That's what God is asking this morning. I've prepared everything necessary. I'm inviting you. There are no conditions. Why do you continue to ignore my invitation? There are some of you here who've heard this gospel invitation Sunday after Sunday. You know, it's a dangerous thing to continue to spurn it. Now respond. Taste and see that the Lord is gracious. And if you're hearing it for the first time, don't wait. Respond now and come and find in Christ one who will be your all. Thank God that the church has a gospel to declare, good news. Thank God that it is not about what we do to earn salvation. It's about what Christ has done. And thank God it's being offered for free and that everybody is invited. It doesn't matter how old you are. It doesn't matter where you're from. It doesn't matter how bad you've been. It doesn't matter what the conditions are. This is for you, my friend, because it's not me that's saying these things. It's not Heath Church that's saying these things. It's your Creator and the one who can be your Redeemer for his namesake. Amen. Now let's sing together 500.